because we're super busy a few times of the year, let's not overreact to that and say no to the things that we can say no to without saying yes to the things that might actually help get to the core of the problem.
So we don't want to be at 99.99% all the time, but maybe 80% all the time during the season.
Right.
And that's a marketing issue and trying to convince people to come here other times than just that holiday peak. But I don't think you can change that dynamic. People are always going to come here on Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But obviously you're doing something right for to have record numbers, both, you know, from your from the Aspen Skiing Company standpoint, plus all the businesses that report, you know, record sales.
It's a great place to live and to visit, right? And it continues to be attractive, and people want to spend time here, right?
It's a great problem to have, I suppose.
It's a great problem to have. I think my op-ed from a couple months ago came off as a little overly focused on hotbeds. It wasn't meant to be. I think that's part of the solution, right, is to have the most efficient tourism infrastructure you can have, right? And hotbeds are a piece of that. Transportation are a piece of that. An efficient airport is a piece of that. Having the right zoning and sort of the right clusters of commercial activity and the right amount of employee housing in the right place is a piece of that, right? All these pieces fit together to create, what I'd call a sustainable resort economy, not only environmentally, but also from a community standpoint. So like you say, people aren't suffering from PTSD because everybody's overly dependent on, you know, 2 weeks of the year to do all their business instead of having it be a little bit more spread out.
Right. On a grade scale, what would you give the resort community as far as all of those pieces that you were talking about? Like, how well are we doing on that? Or, you know, scale of 1 to 10 with all of the pieces.
I give us pretty high marks looking back and to date. You know, I don't give us I think I'd argue a 9 to your point. People still want to come here. People still want to live here. Look, Rafta is an incredibly, you know, efficient and effective regional transportation authority, right? Our employee housing program started, you know, in the 70s thanks to the vision of those community leaders at the time have put us out front of many other resort communities, right? But this world is changing fast, and it's definitely a global economy, and it's an international community, and people want to come here, right? And so we need to be looking ahead and ensuring we're building and planning that infrastructure so that we can be a 9 going forward.
To that point also, the ski company recently hired somebody to deal with specifically with housing. For your workforce, correct?
For our workforce, but in everything we do, we try to be, you know, participate as a community partner, right? So Philip's in the conversation and he's attending these meetings, ensuring we're ensuring our voice is heard, but also helping, I think, the community look ahead and think through these issues.
You talked about the op-ed that you wrote a few months ago regarding the carrying capacity and hotbeds. I want to differentiate or make it clear. We talk about it on Valley Roundup a lot. Roger Merle will, you know, keep making the point about we don't need more beds. And what I say to him is I think the conversation is we need more updated inventory to think about between now and the future. It's replacing. It's not more, right? Is that what you're... Is that the kind of the thinking that you're operating from?
Yeah, I agree. It's updating and replacing. We have lost a lot of hotbeds over the last 20 years, and you can, throw numbers around. But we've definitely seen a degradation in the number of beds. We're never going to make that up. But I think it's really important that the existing inventory can continue to be upgraded. You know, condos and infrastructure ages and customer tastes change, right? And so we've got to find ways to make that easier for those condo owners and for those property managers. And at the same time, hotels need to continue to update. I mean, customer tastes have really changed over the years, and you have these lifestyle hotels coming on, right, where people want sort of more efficient rooms and more energetic and vibrant common areas, and they want technology everywhere. And that's really, really important in attracting the next generation of customer. And I think as a resort, we've got to be looking towards that next generation of customer and making sure we're meeting their needs and tastes. And they want to stay in places that are more lifestyle-oriented. Limelight is an example of that. I think the New Sky will be an example of that. And we need to keep pushing forward and looking ahead towards, again, what that next generation of skier, snowboarder, mountain destination visitor is looking for, and make sure we're accommodating them in a way that's relevant and reflective of Aspen and the Aspen idea in the future.
Switching gears, I wanted to ask you about the op-ed that you wrote and was published in the local papers at the end of December, right when it was super busy and lots of people, lots of eyes on that. It was in response to the results of the election. And I was curious of, you know, what motivated you to do that? What was your thought process and what kind of message did you want to send out?
You know, the motivation was really tied to our overall approach to business and our commitment to sustainability. And we espouse these values and this way of doing business that we truly believe in and we try to bring to life in the workplace and that we really try to role model. And after the election, we were getting feedback from some people saying, wow, does, you know, our climate, our focus on climate still matter? What does this mean for all our environmental work? And, you know, for the work we've done to stand up for gay marriage and immigration reform and those other social issues. And we stopped and reflected and said, man, in this environment, these things are more important than ever. We need to make sure that we renew our commitment to being a sustainable company in every sense of the word and to stand up and make sure we make that known in a respectful, civil way, but in a strong way. And so we grappled with how we would do that and decided that a public statement was the best format. And I was honestly totally shocked by the overwhelming support we received after it went out. I mean, employees, guests, locals, really supportive of the message because I think it was not intended to be political. It was meant to be about these fundamental human values around tolerance and civility and science and climate science and trying to find win-win solutions, by the way. It's not a win-lose situation. I think we've proven that over the years through our ability to get projects done, especially on the environmental side. So felt like it was important to reaffirm our commitment to those values and to do it in a very public way. And I was very pleased by the support we had from the community on for taking that stand.
It certainly will be a challenge going forward in upholding those values as reality starts to set in with the choices that have been made in the cabinet and whatever policies come down as a result.
Yeah, I think so, and that's why I think it's just so important to, again, reinforce our opinions as individuals and as corporations. Sent copies of the op-ed to all of our elected representatives and said, climate matters. And by the way, we're not just complaining about it. We have solutions. You know, come visit us. Come visit the methane plant. We'll show you how to capture methane and turn it into electricity and make money.
Uh-huh.
We can do things like this, and let's not argue about it. Let's get stuff done so we can take a leadership position as a community and a country. And lead the way towards clean energy and a tolerant civil society.
And you mentioned in that op-ed piece about the gay community, and we will be hosting the Aspen's Gay Ski Week this week. This is the fifth decade of hosting this event, and people will pile back into town, and we've got some big events coming up that I know the ski company's focusing on. Probably more, all of its focus is going on X Games and World Cup finals.
Yeah, I mean, we have a huge event lineup, and I think, you know, Gay Ski Week is a good example of, you know, we stood up for equal marriage rights because it's the right thing to do, but it's also the right business decision for us. I mean, the gay community has been very loyal to us and very important to us from a business and customer standpoint and from an employment standpoint. And we need to stand up for our employees, our customers, and again, what we believe in. So very excited to have Gay Ski Week back, and it's a fun time of year to be here. And it is a ton of fun, as you mentioned, to then shift right from Gay Ski Week to X Games, and the face of the town changes, right? And
big time.
And the attire in town, and it's so much fun how we flex as a community and get to experience this diversity right here. And so we're looking forward to that. X Games is going to be a ton of fun, and it's all building into the culminating event, the World Cup Finals 2017. And that's looking really, really strong, and we're hopeful that our athletes are going to show up and do well. And Michaela Schifrin is sure doing well so far, and the whole community is stepping up.
Yeah. Now, you know, I think about it, and it's like we have this, like all these dual personalities. It's the glitz and glamour of the holidays, and then it switched to, right, you got thousands of gay people here. Then it turns to, you know, athletes and the young demographic. Then it switches to now we're like a total ski town with the World Cup Finals being here. And we totally can accommodate all of that and just kind of change our skin and adapt.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, the Christmas crowd it's a unique crowd, right? But it's only 5 days.
Right.
And you got to admit, it's great people watching. Right?
It is.
And then you go, really, we shift to international, right? Australia, Brazil,
right.
Here now, it shows up strong. So you get this international flavor. And then you go to Gay Ski Week, feels sort of more urban, right, in terms of the vibe in town. And then it goes to X Games, which is obviously, you know, younger and more, you know, core skier rider crew and more front range, right? You get mm-hmm. everybody coming up from all over the state and enjoying the festival. And then it keeps shifting, and we get Mardi Gras, and we're going to peak with World Cup Finals.
Right.
We're pretty lucky.
It leads me to my last question, which is, we've seen you on the front lines in recent weeks, manning the lift lines and elsewhere. What have you been seeing out there? What, you know, who have you been talking to? Who's coming here?
Manning the front lines over Christmas is, you know, it's a ton of fun. First of all, just being outside and getting to see everybody and being in the thick of it. There's so many loyal customers who have been coming here for years, and that's really what you see over Christmas. And you see these multiple generations, and you see ski pros with, you know, skiing with now the grandkids of, you know, the kids or the adults they taught, right? And they taught their kids, and now they're teaching their grandkids. And you hear these stories of, you know, I've been coming 20 years this week. It's amazing. Love it. Glad you got the snow this year. There's always, you know, a little comment, you know, when are you going to redo the Ullerhof, or when are you going to replace the couch? And so you get that constructive feedback as well. But it's always in the context of, you know, we love this place. It's special to our family. We're so happy to be back. And just people, it's so much more than just a vacation or a sport, right? It really is part of their lives. And that's reinforced whenever you're out there. And then the other thing you see is it's just so much fun to see the first year employees. They're, you know, they're here for the first time, and they, you know, this is their dream, and they're finally in the mountains, and they're just so jazzed by, you know, everything, whether it's, you know, loading a lift for a celebrity, you know, their first powder day, or whatever it is. It's just to be next to them, and it takes you back, takes me back to my first days, and reminds me to always appreciate how good we have it and how awesome it is to be here.
Anything else you want to add?
I should have encouraged people to go to our website and check out the sustainability report. It comes out every 2 years, and it's a deep dive into what we've done in the last couple years, and it's open book. You know, have we reduced our carbon footprint? Have we reduced our water usage, et cetera? And so encourage people to to read that and check it out and challenge us and hopefully look at use it as an example of things that they might look into doing from a sustainability standpoint.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time, Mike.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Carolyn.